It's a pretty good bet that if you live in Michigan, you have at one time or another walked or driven alongside one of the Great Lakes. It's something that makes us all feel like Michiganders. Maybe you have your favorite slice of Great Lakes shoreline, perhaps Caseville, East Tawas, the Leelanau, maybe Grand Haven or Ludington. But how often do you think of the entire system and shoreline of the Great Lakes, all 10,000 miles of shoreline that runs along 8 states and 1 Canadian province? Photographer Ed Worgen is thinking about the Great Lakes as one entire region because he's in the middle of a project called the Fresh Coast Project. He's photographing all of the shoreline of the Great Lakes. Ed Worgen joins us now. Welcome, Ed.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. Tell us, when and how did you come up with the idea of this enormous project of photographing all 10,000 miles of shoreline of the Great Lakes?
Well, the idea of the project really goes back many, many years, but I've actually been working on it most seriously over the last several years. However, I grew up in Duluth, Minnesota, Lake Superior's most western port city, and so I've always had that love affair with the Great Lakes, starting with Lake Superior. And being a photographer, it's just been a natural transition to follow those shorelines and to capture. But as my career developed, I became closer and closer to wanting to tell and share the story of the Great Lakes. And I've realized as well over the years, living and working through the Great Lakes, that we often look at the Great Lakes as parts and pieces. Again, being from Duluth originally, we have the North Shore, but we lived in Michigan for about 10 years, and you have the Sleeping Bear Dunes, and we kind of have this tendency to kind of break down the Great Lakes in parts and pieces.
Very true.
And the goal of the project is to try to look at the Great Lakes as one story. So it's literally one photograph at a time to create one story on the Great Lakes and to hopefully have us look at it a little bit different.
So you're taking still photographs?
Everything is still photographs, and more importantly, it's all being photographed on film, which is an archival method. I shoot on a transparency-type-based film, which is it's very beautiful, and it's very archival, which I think is very important to the integrity of the project. The goal is to have this library of images be around for generations, and I feel the best way to do that is to capture it on film.
So give us an idea of how you do this. Are you doing it from the land looking out? Are you renting boats and doing it from the water looking back onto the land?
I'm really approaching it from really all various angles, but typically, by far and away, it's from the shoreline. I like the idea of the Great Lakes being approachable for people and not have it being an intimidating landscape. So I do like the idea of photographing from shore the majority of the time, but I have done over the years for the project aerial photography and a photograph from kayaks and various boats. So it's really all of those things.
The logistics are mind-blowing when you think of 10,000 miles of shoreline, and my understanding is you also want to do it in all four seasons?
Yeah, I actually have been capturing this project in all four seasons. And at the end of the day, there'll be invariably many places that I have to think that I will not capture. Mm-hmm. But it's to build that framework. I would feel really lucky, I guess, that if what I do is I encourage other people to go out and to capture their own story on the Great Lakes in the years ahead. Maybe this is a starting point. But I have built a very large framework of imagery on the Great Lakes, and I think I'm off to a great start.
I want to talk more about what you referenced a bit earlier about how important it is to you to do this project on film as opposed to digital. What are we losing out on by moving into purely digital photography?
Well, the way I look at it, and it, in my opinion, is that when I'm photographing on film and I'm done processing that film and it comes back from the lab, I'm literally holding that piece of film in my hand. And that is a key part. It's so tangible. I cannot do that with a digital file. And I shoot digital photography as well, but I often say to people, try to imagine holding a digital file. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's interpolated data. So I do have a love affair with shooting on film. It's something that I've been doing since a very young age, and it's capturing that moment in time when someone looks at a piece of film or a piece of film from this project. That's exactly what it looked like at that moment. It's a matter of what you see is what you get, and that's what I like about working on film.
Are you shooting in color or black and white, Ed?
In color.
In color. And Ed, you tell us that the clock's ticking on your project. Why so?
Well, as a matter of fact, earlier this year, Kodak has stopped manufacturing this certain film and chemicals that I shoot and work with. Mm-hmm. I am working with what's left in the marketplace. So there is a clock now attached to this project. I've had the luxury to capture this, I wouldn't say at my leisure. There's always been that I knew this day would come, but when they stopped manufacturing the product, the time has definitely come to get this on film while I can.
You talk about the enormous changes along the Great Lakes shoreline over the past 75 years, and you say you want to capture the transition from old to new. Tell us more about that.
Well, I'm intrigued with the idea that if we just simply look back 75 years ago, we had lumber camps, we had lighthouses and lightkeepers, we had commercial fishermen and commercial fishing villages. And in that short time frame, from an historical perspective, it's changed. Most of that is gone. We might see remnants of that through lighthouses and historic sites that are fishing villages, but essentially that lifestyle, those types of lifestyles are gone. And I look at it from the perspective of today, the work that I'm doing on the Great Lakes today, and what will it look like 75 years from now? It's going to be radically different, because there's a little bit of irony in that I'm pining about looking back 75 years with no lighthouse keepers, and I'm literally racing against time because I think this will be the last project that I do on film. So clearly, 75 years from now, people will look back at this, and it'll be kind of a double reflection of what I was looking at and looking at how film clearly will have been long gone by that time. So I feel like this project is kind of bridging a gap between the past and the future, and that's, I think, what really intrigues me.
I think, in a sense, your words bring to mind my feelings when I look at Matthew Brady's photographs of Civil War battlefields. So I understand what you're saying about what future generations might think as they look back at your images.
Exactly. And it's a little, I find it a little strange to talk about it in these terms, but as much as this project is about engaging people to look at the Great Lakes today, it's really about the generations from now that will look at this project through the lens of what the Great Lakes look like during this time. And it's a little bit harder to convince people to sometimes look at a project in that way, because we're all living in the present, of course.
Sure.
But I guess as an artist, you can only hope that you'll have some sort of impact on the narrative years down the road.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and we're speaking with photographer Ed Worgen about his Fresh Coast project. He is shooting all the shoreline of the Great Lakes, and he's doing it on film. Ed, how long have you been doing this? You said several years.
I've been working seriously on the project for the past decade or so. It's really been the last 4 to 5 years where it's been all-consuming. Again, you go back to it's a very large project in scope, and it's very expensive. So it's a project that gets done in parts and pieces, sometimes due to funding constraints, but other times it might be based on times of years and seasons and whatnot. So it's been a real fun, creative patchwork to get this project done, and I think we're looking at probably easily less than a year, and all filming will be complete on my end.
In this stretch of time, you have to have some very interesting travel war stories and interesting people that you've encountered. Can you share any of those memories with us?
I think in some ways that's the best part, because it's the part that I don't necessarily share through the projects. Those are the parts and pieces that I take with me that are really special. And you meet some really wonderful people. there's so many stories that really go with that, and I'm probably picking one of the maybe the oddest ones, but it's the one that jumps to mind.
Go ahead.
And I was working up in the Pitchard Rocks National Lakeshore, and I had gotten up well before sunrise and was walking towards the Asabo Lighthouse. And it's about a three-quarters of a mile walk through this trail and completely doing it in the pitch dark. And I'm heading down the trail. I finally start to see a little bit of open light. I see the lighthouse in the distance, and the sun is just starting to pop up over the horizon of Lake Superior. And I'm clearly all by myself. It's a little bit off season, and I start sighting up, and lo and behold, there's a person standing 40 yards off to the left of me. It was a woman. She didn't have any shoes or socks on, and she scared me.
I
jumped pretty high, but we struck up a conversation, and to find out that she had was walking across America, not in bare feet, I don't think, but she was at that time when I saw her. But she was from Washington D.C. and was walking across America, and I encountered her in this very far-flung landscape. And it's those kinds of situations where you meet people that get your heart racing, they make life very exciting.
I think there's a book to be written there, don't you?
There very well might be.
As you talk about the personalities of the people you've encountered, now that you've become so intimately acquainted with the Great Lakes, maybe I'm off base here, but are there different personalities of the lakes? Have you discovered that?
I really do think there are different personalities to the lakes, and I think the citizens that live in and around those Great Lakes drive those personalities. What I like so much is there's like particular pride with certain lakes, and I think the one lake that carries so much pride is Lake Michigan, and I think that's probably because so much of it is beach-oriented, and it brings so many people to its shores, whether they're cottagers or visitors or what have you, and I think all it does is it just creates so many fond memories for people. The personality trait that I find with Lake Superior that seems to be true over and over again is there's such awe. People look at that lake with such respect and in some cases almost fear, and some of that might be driven from, you know, past events like the Edmund Fitzgerald sinking to, you know, people have been there when these storms kick up. And it makes you realize how small you are. So there's this idea of respect that comes with Lake Superior.
How about Huron?
What I find about Lake Huron is I was probably, of all the five Great Lakes, most surprised by Lake Huron. Simply being on the American side of the lake, you get a sense of what it feels like over in the Thumb. Uh-huh. There's also that sense of pride on the lakeshore there. But when you're on the Canadian side, when you're over on the Bruce Peninsula, it is, to me, it was probably felt the most reminiscent of almost like being on a beach in California. When you're looking over Lake Huron to the west, facing California, if you will, facing Michigan, if you will, the cottage lifestyle is a little bit different. There's sandwich shops and ice cream parlors and it just goes on and on through these cottagey-type villages that run up the shore of the Bruce Peninsula. And you get a whole different sense of their lifestyle is very, it's a very upbeat summer lifestyle. A lot of the cottagers there are from Toronto, and it just has a really nice feel. And Lake Erie, I find really intriguing because Lake Erie's been through a lot.
Yes.
Lake Erie gets picked on and beat up, but there's a lot of pride with the fact that it's coming back, that a lot of people have put a lot of time, money, effort into preservation. And is it perfect? No. But is it coming back? I would say absolutely. And I think that's what makes Lake Erie so wonderful. And lastly, Lake Ontario, it's probably the most unique cottage culture. I know when a lot of people from the heart of the Great Lakes think of cottages, they think Michigan. But the cottage culture in the Thousand Islands, both in the American and the Canadian side, is phenomenal. It's pretty common to go into someone's cottage there, and they'll have a sign-in or a logbook that literally goes back to the early 1800s, where these cottages are 8, 9, and 10 generations, and makes my family roots feel very young.
Yeah, that's true.
And
a lot of history.
On history. And
yeah.
And to go into these cottages that are might be one cottage on one island, it's just it's a pretty warming experience.
The website is thefreshcoastproject.com. Ed Worgen's work is there, and we have put a link up on our page at michiganradio.org so you can check out the work. And what will you do with all of these images, Ed, when you're done?
There's a few bit of unknowns there, but the goal is to search out and to have a hopefully hardcover book published of the final work. Another goal is to build out hopefully some fine art photographic print exhibitions that ideally my goal, lofty goal, would be to have those travel through the Great Lakes to universities, because I believe in my heart that the next stewards of the Great Lakes are the young people, and I would love to have an exhibition of the work travel through different universities and colleges in the Great Lakes region, but only time will tell.
Ed Worgen, thanks for talking with us today on Stateside. It's been great getting to hear your stories.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate your time.
Photographer Ed Worgen, who is doing the Fresh Coast Project, and again, you can find his images with the link up on our page at michiganradio.org.